Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, choir. Good to see that choir so full. Still a few empty chairs, and great to see the younger ones up there joining in and singing along with us as well. So just a great morning of worship. It's good to be in God's house this morning. I'm grateful to be here in front of you. And this morning, as you've seen, the title of the message is No Room, No Problem. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Daniel read for us 8 through 20. We're going to be speaking on that one next week. So we're going to start with 1 through 7 this week. And, you know, my wife and I have on occasion taken trips where we've made no reservations. We just decided we were going to stop wherever we stopped, and we're going to make that, or we may know where we were going, what town we were going to or city, but we made no reservations. And in most cases, this has worked out for us okay until we moved to California. Then it wasn't so good. We've had a couple of trips to where I would be invited to go and speak normally in Southern California, and we'd go down there and speak, and my wife enjoyed traveling with me. She worked out of the same office with us there. Mainly was her main thing was working with us in our office, so she was able to go with me then, and she enjoyed traveling with me, and she also enjoyed spending a night near the beach or at the beach, and so we would always try to do that. Santa Barbara was one of our favorite places to stay, and on a couple of occasions, we were not able to find a room in the city of our choice, the city that we had hoped to, where there was no hotel rooms available there. We had to drive on another hour or two sometimes before we found one. And on one such trip, and Pam was having her back issues. She had chronic back pain and problems, and some of you have read about that in the book that we wrote, or that I wrote about the situations. And this is before she had her surgery, where God completely healed her of those back issues and four bad discs. But we began our hotel room search on this one particular night, and we stopped at Santa Barbara about 6 o'clock. I'd finished my speaking engagement that day, about 3, 3:30, something like that. And by the time we packed up, said our goodbyes, and then drove from there to Santa Barbara, it was about 6 o'clock. We had hoped to find a room there, but there was no rooms in Santa Barbara. There's a lot of hotels there. But we found out there was a convention going on, plus a football game or some kind of college game going on there. And so all the rooms were taken. So I drove to the next city, same thing. I drove to the next little town, same thing. And we finally found a room in a place called King City around midnight that night. So 6 hours later, and it was about 200 more miles north of where we had planned on spending the night. And another thing about King City, there is no beach around King City. Not at midnight that it would have mattered anyway, but there was nothing like that there. King City, it was at the very end, bottom end of our association where I worked, and so it was only about an hour and a half left to get home, but I just knew she had to get out of the car. We had to get her out of the car. She should have been out much earlier than that. King City, by the way, is at the bottom end of Salinas Valley. Does that mean anything to any of you? When you buy a bag of salad or salad mix at the store, turn it over and look at the back of it, you're going to see Salinas or Salinas Valley or Watsonville on the back of that bag of salad, because almost over 90% of your salads come from the Salinas Valley, and that was part of where we worked, where we lived at that time. But there was no beach there, and we certainly found out that night that things just do not always go as planned or the way that you and I would like them to go. Perhaps you have a similar story in your life that you could share. Well, let's read our passage today, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, of another hotel room search. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Now, I would ask if you would to please stand with me today in honor of reading God's word for this. We're going to read the 7 verses. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed or wife-to-be, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." There was no room. Father God, we thank you that we can read this, and even though it's not a good situation that was going on, we know that you were in control. And we pray that you would help us to learn from it for our own lives today, as we may face situations that are out of our control, things that we may not consider the desirable way, but we need to understand that your way is better than our way. May your Holy Spirit have freedom to speak to each one of us, to our minds, to our hearts, and touch our souls as we listen to your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. And as you're being seated, think with me for a moment here that you're instructed by the government to take a trip that you were not planning to take to a place that you had not planned to go and that you had not budgeted for and had no money for. This is the lot that fell to Joseph. And on top of this, Joseph was to take his 9-month pregnant wife on this journey with him. Now, at least my wife was riding in a car the night that we had our hotel room journey. Now, I can relate to Joseph in some ways because I truly felt for my wife and her back pain that night that we could not find a hotel room. But we had to keep pressing on and place our hope in God providing for us that night. And that brings us to our first point, which our first point is Joseph had a hope. And his hope was based on a promise. You see, folks, things just do not always go as planned. You and I know that. Joseph could not use a GPS device to map his route to Bethlehem. He could not go down to the local AAA office to request a map or trick tip or a book that listed all of the AAA rated hotels. He could not do a Google search to find his route or to find a place to stay. Not only were there no maps, there were no paved roads, only dirt pathways at best. And their journey began in the hill country of Nazareth. We talked a little bit about that last week. This was at least a 4-day journey on foot across the mountains and in the hill country, starting there of Nazareth and down to Bethlehem on dirt pathways at best. This was not a pleasure trip. This was not a joyful journey. And yet Joseph did not complain, as far as we know. Doesn't say anything about it. He never complained. And once in Bethlehem, I mean, think about this. You're starting a new family. You find out your wife is pregnant and you haven't had relations with her. She's not had relations with any man. And so now what do you do in that? And then the government says you got to make a 4-day journey on foot with your 9-month pregnant wife. The place you didn't want to go, you didn't budget for, had no plans of doing it, taking time out of your life and from your work so that you can earn money to raise your family. And then when you get there, there's no place to stay. Nothing. No houses, no inns, no hotels. And hotels or inns, motels, and that day, they didn't have separate rooms. They had a spot on the floor. What you were buying was not a hotel room, you were buying a spot on the floor to lay your mat that you brought with you and to lay down on that until you got up the next morning. But there was no place to be found, not a room to be found anywhere. And the city was overcrowded due to the census. There was no room. However, one innkeeper did find a place for Joseph in a cave-like hole in the side of a hill where animals were stabled. Joseph and Mary were going to spend their time in this strange city in a cave for housing. And not only their time there, but this is where Mary would actually give birth to their firstborn child. And we know this was not only their firstborn child, this was God's only child. How would you feel? I know that I thought about this, and I know that I would probably say something, God, I know this is not what you want. I know you want us to stay in the Hyatt or Hilton or some other nice hotel. I know that you don't want us to stay under this overpass on I-75. And folks, that's what it would be today. It wouldn't be a cave. Today it would be like staying under an overpass on I-75. You've seen some homeless or seen pictures and shows of that being depicted. That's what it was like for Mary and Joseph. What would your reaction be to having to make this journey imposed by the government? Having to take this journey when you were just starting a family and your wife was 9 months pregnant. I believe most of us would be just a little bit more than disturbed, don't you? I know I would have been. How many of you men have taken your wife on a 4-day hike through the mountains and wilderness while she was 9 months pregnant? How many of you women would have agreed to something like that? when you were 9 months pregnant. Things do not always go as we plan, though, do they? But we need to realize, and we've been taught this, and we know this here, we need to understand this, that God's plan is better than anything you or I could dream up, even if it seems like it's the very opposite at the time. Some of you have been in situations like that where you just don't understand how God could be leading you through that situation, and yet when you can look back on it later, you understand. And I believe we need to take a lesson from Joseph. He took on a situation which was against societal culture of his day. In fact, his first thoughts were to, when he found out that Mary was pregnant, was to put her away, to divorce her privately. But an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him not to do that because this was of God. And so our first point was Joseph had a hope, and his hope was based on a promise of what God had shared with him and with Mary. Our second point this morning is that Joseph was obedient to the Lord. He followed God's plan. Joseph, no doubt, faced much ridicule and scorn from the community. Ridicule that could have hurt his family and ruined his family business. And that was the only way they had to make money. But the important thing to Joseph was to be obedient to God, from taking his wife to be his wife, on down the line to other things that he was doing, making this journey that he didn't plan to make, didn't want to make, couldn't afford to make, but doing it easy way, even taking his nine-month pregnant wife with him. We need to take that, understand that, what that means to be obedient to God. Because it's so easy. We've talked about this before, but it's so easy for us to want to take the safe route, isn't it? Let's take things and do it the safe route. Let's do it. Let's not ruffle any feathers. Let's make sure that it's in our comfort zone. We don't want to do anything that will cause friction. So we find the path that will cause the least friction and embarrassment. There's nothing wrong with trying to do that if that's what God leads you to. But oftentimes, that's not what God wants. Because as I've said before, no growth takes place in your comfort zone. God stretches you out of your comfort zone so that he can grow you as his disciple. Or sometimes we do what seems good and sensible to us. After all, we're God's children, right? We study the Bible. We know. So what I want to do, it has to be God's way, right? It's not what God says. His ways are much higher, much better than our ways. But we want to take that easy way out. And when we do, let me tell you this. When you do, and you do, I've done it too. When we do, we miss out on God's blessings. Only we don't know it. Because we never gave God a chance to pour out blessings for that journey that he has us on. We never give him a chance. Joseph knew that even though it might not make sense at the time, God's plan was the only plan for him to follow. How many of you men, take another stab at this, how many of you men wanted to take your new bride to live in a cave for your honeymoon? Be a great honeymoon, right? How many of you women would have put up with a honeymoon like that? You see, I knew Pam was well beyond the tired phase and she needed to be out of that car. Riding in a car is one of the worst things you can do when you have a back like that, in that shape. And so I knew that she was well beyond that tired phase while we were traveling to find that room that night. And I feared for her health because she should have been out of that car and in a bed hours before we ever found the room. But that was God's doing, not mine. Joseph also was well aware of his bride's tender position. He did not want to house his bride, his young bride, in a cave, especially for this trip when she would deliver their firstborn son. However, when the world says no room, God says no problem. And that brings us to our third point. First point, Joseph had a hope, and his hope was based on a promise. Second point, Joseph was obedient to the Lord. And our third point is Joseph placed his hope in God. And he knew that he and Mary were in God's hands and in God's tender care, even if it meant living in the stable temporarily and giving birth there. God does some amazing things when we place our full hope and trust in him. Have you ever taken the time to think about what amazing things God could do through you. Not what he has done, but what amazing things God could do through you. I've thought about that. I've got one of those analytical minds as a C personality. And so I think about that from time to time. And usually when I do, I think about some of the things that God has done, the amazing things that he's done, he's allowed me to see or to be a part of. And my thoughts usually turn to, I wonder why he's not doing more. What's stopping God from doing more of those? Because once some of you have done it. If you've experienced those, you want more of them. You have a hunger and a thirst for God to do that. And you know what? I always come to the same conclusion. The reason God's not doing it, it's right here. It's me. There's something that I've not surrendered. There's an area of my life that I've turned away from. I've tried to do it myself, and I'm not allowing God to do something amazing through me. And I just always wonder, how much more? How much more does God want to bless me? How much more does God want to bless? You know, one of the things, and I know that they say there's no sadness or anything like that in heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. When I get to heaven, if God shows me all the things that he wanted to bless me with, he said, if you would have just taken 3 more steps with me, if you would have just set that thing aside, if you would have just turned that TV off, if you would have just, look at what I had for you. Look at what you could have been blessed with. I had this ready. That happens, I'm going to be sad in heaven when I see those. I'm going to miss some of them just because I'm going to miss some of them. But I don't want to do it intentionally because I want to stay on Facebook a little bit longer. Joseph and Mary had no idea what effect this trip would have on their lives, much less the effect that this particular night in the stable would have on the entire world forever. I don't believe they had any idea. I don't think they had a clue. I believe it wasn't until 33 years later that the reality of this trip to Bethlehem would really set in for Mary. I believe it's not until Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection did Mary even know and understand the full impact of the events and the trials of this undesirable trip to Bethlehem. Never discount the valleys that you go through. God is working. You see, folks, things do not always go as we plan or as we would like them to go, but God's plans are far greater than our plans. And God says, when the world says no room, no problem. God's got it, and he'll carry us through. He'll walk us through. He doesn't say, I'll help you avoid it, but he did say he would walk through everything with us. Now, you may not get the exact gifts you want this Christmas season, or the situation that you're in at home or at work or at school or somewhere else may not be exactly where you want it to be. But if that's the case, why not think of Mary and Joseph and their trip to Bethlehem? I think what they went through, this definitely was not what they wanted and not what they expected. Let's face it. God has done some great works through circumstances that you and I would consider less than adequate. In our own lives and other lives of others we know and of those we read in the Bible and since the Bible was written. So if something in your life is not exactly as you would like it to be this Christmas, place your hope where Joseph and Mary placed their hope, in the God of peace, in the God of the season of Christmas. When you can see no room for hope, just say, it's no problem, because it's no problem for God. You never know what great things might come out of the circumstances that you find yourself in this Christmas, even if they're less than desirable circumstances. Now, you might get everything you want this Christmas season. Or you might not be able to imagine a better situation to be in. Still, consider Joseph and Mary's situation and their trip to Bethlehem. Count your blessings. Count your blessings daily. Count your blessings and ask God what great thing he is preparing you for. Because he's blessed you and given you all these grits, everything that you can imagine for Christmas. Ask him what is he preparing you for and ask him to help you to be obedient. Because you never know what great things might come out of it. Circumstances that you find yourself in this Christmas season. You see, there's always hope. Our hope is in Christ, and our hope is not a dream or a wish. Our hope is in Christ, and our hope is a promise. And that's the hope of Mary and Joseph. No matter what comes your way, you can have the promise of all promises. It's a promise that can never be broken. It's a promise of the season, and it's a promise of eternal life. And not only that, it's a promise of abundant life here on earth. For on Christmas Day, we celebrate the birth of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. For this is when, as an infant baby, God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, brought to earth the promise of the new covenant of eternal life. Great news this morning, folks. God included you in that promise. He included you, each one of you. He included you if you are a child of His. God included you in His promise of hope. How do you include Him in your Christmas? He included you. Shouldn't you include Him? I heard the story of a teacher, of one of his students' Christmas gift to him a few years back. This teacher tried to live his Christianity in front of his students as best he could, as well as the school system would allow. And we've got several educators in the room, and you all understand this. And he says he tried to live his Christianity in front of his students, but as oftentimes is true, he did not know if he was making a difference. He did not know if he was making an impact on any of his students' lives. And then before school was out for the Christmas break, one particular student, a young girl, handed him something and found out that she gave a goat for Christmas. Now, she didn't give it to him. Now, you all understand the way I said it. Some of you know where this is going. She gave a goat. She actually gave money to a missionary organization to purchase a goat for a family in a third world country. And she gave the money in the name of her teacher. And that was her Christmas gift to him for that year. And naturally, he was pleased. And you know what? I believe Christ was pleased too with that gift. When you're not sure if what you're doing is making a difference, you're not sure that there's room for God in what you're doing, just remember, with God, when there's no room, or when the world says there's no room, God says, no problem. God's got it. What will you give Jesus this Christmas? We talked about last week, why not give yourself as a birthday present to Jesus this year? And folks, especially anyone in here, if you do not have a close personal relationship with Christ, what better time than the Christmas season than to surrender your life fully to God? What better time could you give or receive such a gift? And if you do have a relationship for Christ, those of you who do have a relationship with Christ in here, why not make a commitment right now that this Christmas season you want to improve your relationship? Draw near to God. His promise is if you will draw nearer to Him, He will draw nearer to you. I grew up in the suburbs of Louisville, and I spent my teen years in a church in the Oklahoma Highview area, Parkland Baptist Church is the name of it. I've had my wayward years after that, but my teen years were there at that church, and little did I know how much impact my years there, 7 or 8 years there, in that community, in my home church, how much impact it would have on my life. And not only my life, but on the life of so many others, because I never would have dreamed back then what God's got me doing today. But how little did I realize the impact that those years would have on my life and the lives of so many others as God uses me across the nation. All because of the influence and the instruction, the love and the care, the compassion that I received some 50 years ago. Folks, it's not about me. I'm not talking about, it's not about me. It's not about what I can do. You see, I'm not a Billy Graham. I'm not a Charles Stanley. I'm not a Charles Spurgeon. But I am grateful for all the men and women of Parkland Baptist Church and other churches who have endured the circumstances that they faced 50 plus years ago so that I might be obedient to Christ today. I don't know what was going on in their lives. There may have been in some of their lives things that seemed like there was no room in their lives to help someone else. But with God, they said, no problem. And they poured in to one young teenage boy. Now, they poured into a lot of teenage boys and girls. But there's one that I can speak for that I know of. See, no matter how good or how bleak your situation might appear, where you're at in life, instead of grumbling about it, why not find God in it? He's there. He's present in your situation, just as he was with Joseph and Mary and all of those things that they went through. It seemed just to be getting worse and worse as they went. But God was there and did an amazing, amazing thing for every one of us. He's present in your situation. You might just need to look for him a little bit different, in a little bit different way than what you're used to. When there's no room at the inn, think of Mary and Joseph and say, no problem. When the stresses of life say that there's no room for rest and peace, why not say, no room, no problem? When in a difficult situation or in pain and hardship, when there's going through a difficult illness, when there's no room for comfort or there appears to be no room for comfort, why not say, no room, no problem? God's got this. Folks, let's keep our focus on Christ this Christmas and learn from Mary and Joseph. Enjoy Christ in all things, regardless of what you're going through. Enjoy Christ of the universe, the Christ of creation. And keep Christ in the center of your life for Christmas. And remember, like Joseph and Mary, you may find there's no room at the inn, but there's always room at the foot of the cross. And that's where we need to spend our time. Would you stand with me? We're going to enter our time of invitation, our time of response. It's our time to respond to God and what he's been speaking about and how he's speaking in your life. And I pray that you've been open to listen to the Holy Spirit. I pray that every day before I get up, or every Sunday before I get up, or and throughout the week prior to. So let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father God, I pray that you have had freedom. Your Holy Spirit has had freedom to speak to each one of us. Touch our hearts the way we need to be touched. Even if it's just one little phrase or sentence that was said, that it's the Holy Spirit that touched our hearts. And that now we would understand it. We need to respond. We need to make a commitment. We can do it where we stand, but there's somebody, if you're encouraging someone to step out and step forward, to come forward and kneel and pray, or just to make that, folks, may seem like there's no room in my conscience to step out of this pew because I don't want to be embarrassed. But when the world says there's no room, you say, no problem. Step out, follow God. Wherever you're at in this room tonight, today, step out and follow God and say, no problem, because there's no problems for God. Father, I pray that for someone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they don't know where they're going to spend eternity. They're not sure even about what we're talking about. Or maybe they do, and they've I'm just putting it off. I think there's time. I've still got time. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised the afternoon. So I pray that today would be the day of salvation for anyone that's here that has not made that commitment to Christ to enter into that personal relationship for abundant life here, to be a disciple of Christ while we're living, and to be a child of God in heaven for all eternity. Father, would you impress on our hearts so strong that we are compelled to respond in whatever way you lead us right now in this moment, in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond as God leads you.